Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Music. It's time for a show. It's music. It's time for a show. Yeah. Hey.
Woo!
Woo, man, that was fun. Wasn't that fun?
So full of energy.
We had so much fun. We both knew that we were going to do an announcement, and but then we're like, you know what, let's just do the music. Let's just do the music. That's what we're all about here on Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Trying to decide if I'm the right distance from the microphone.
No, you're fine. Yeah, no, you're fine. You're a perfect distance. You know what? Any distance
6 feet
from me is perfect.
That's what I learned.
That's right. We're doing COVID Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Throwback.
All right. So I'm sick and I'm dying. 2025.
Oh.
No, that's not what we're doing. All right.
Let's talk a little bit less about death.
Okay. Let's do that. But first, before we talk about that,
do your thing.
Let's kill this podcast with a little bit of housekeeping. That's right. Apathetic Enthusiasm. You can follow us on X or Twitter, as they call it nowadays. They're calling it Twitter again. That's
he calls it X. Just that one guy.
Just that one guy. Fuck. At Apathusiast, you can go do that.
Be president. Be careful.
Yeah. You can't. He's a foreign-born citizen until they change that amendment. So
we're talking about who are we talking about?
We're talking about
Bobby
Musk,
Farron.
I thought Bobby Farron. Bobby McFerrin. Like.
Sorry, do your plugs.
You got Apathetic Enthusiasm over on YouTube, youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Patreon, I know I haven't been throwing that out there, but if you want to support us over on Patreon, patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm, you can do that. There's rewards somewhere.
I was just gonna ask, what do people get if they give you the monies?
The gratitude and undying support of me and Travis saying thank you.
Wow.
There are rewards, but they're all basically, you know, satisfaction.
Yes. Got it.
Thank you. Thank you for really emphasizing that. You know what? Maybe you can help me and Travis come up with new ideas for our some rewards for the Patreon eventually. Not right now.
Okay. Because I don't have any right off the top of my head.
Okay.
But it would be a good way to get rid of some things in this room.
I'll give you some time to think about that.
There's a hole in my sweater.
And also
get rid of that.
Get rid of that hole. Oh, is that like getting rid of a negative?
I have so many notebooks that are half filled with things, but I don't want to either tear the pages out or throw the notebooks away.
Oh.
So we can give away these half full notebooks.
So if you subscribe to our Patreon, $20, we will give you a page out of Chelsea's notebook.
Patreon? That's not one. Patreon. It's called...
I talked about Blue Sky last week or the week before. We do have a Blue Sky Apathusiast over on Blue Sky. If you are interested in following us, we need followers if you got a Blue Sky. And then Instagram, there's that thing. And then I'm at Barnyard Cruise on X. And
why is that? That you're Chelsea at to the cruise. Barnyard Cruise.
It's so I've had a few nicknames over the years, Chelsea.
Oh, tell me more.
Steve. I had a nickname of Steve for a while.
Obviously.
Right. Skinny little BTC. Right. Because. All of the boys, the teenage boys, we all named our penises.
Oh, and you got skinny little.
Yeah, I wasn't there the day they were naming penises.
I was. I named it. Just kidding, guys.
Sean was flip tip.
Oh, good Lord. You have to tell more details.
I'm sorry, everybody. You know, spoiler alert. Matt's was Schlockinator. They named mine Skinny Little Bitch. So
I wonder if there's a fun group of ladies somewhere. They all sat around naming their to choose. I'm like, what does Brandon's audience want to hear me say right now?
Yeah.
Vagina? or I just call it a chooch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so that's our show. Thank you for listening.
Oh, it's going to be genitalia based. I can feel it.
Yeah. Here's your call to action. Tell us what you named your private parts. Don't. Please don't.
No, tell us what your parents used to call it. And that's why you're messed up now.
Yeah. Pee-pee.
Yeah. Your worm. Oh. Your hoo-ha. Yeah,
your hoo-ha.
It all comes from wang diddly doodler. That bottle at BevMo that we just went to. And now I've got that. That name of that, I don't even know what kind of booze it was, but it was called Chicken Cock. And now I got cock on the brain.
Yeah, yeah. And we debated why they called it chicken cock, right? Because, like, yeah, roosters are a form of, they are a chicken. But, like, why would the brand be called Chicken Cock? That doesn't make sense to me.
I guess I need to know more about...
the brand.
Well, yep, yes. And also, chicken anatomy.
Well, you know, that I think that's a great segue into our first subject, which is a brand new school year is starting. And
you're not supposed to be that close to school.
Part of school is learning, right? The whole, you know, maybe you took anatomy last semester and now you're not going to take chicken anatomy, but that's unfortunate because
you could if you went to Moore Park College, the learning zoo.
That's right. Maybe you can like minor in zoo anatomy.
I thought about it for a second and I'm still not 100% sure I'm not going to major in some sort of bird anatomy class.
I wonder if Moore Park College has bird classes Moore Park College, that's where they learning zoo and there's actual zoo up at the college. I don't remember seeing any birds.
Their big deal is that lion, but yeah. I feel like people who want to learn about a lion just never changed their dream from the time they were two. Grow up and learn about birds like a normal person.
Yeah. I learned to get away from dinosaurs. Finally, you can get away from lions.
Oh, I thought you said you took a class about how to escape from dinosaurs. I learned how to get away from dinosaurs. Yeah, you stop, drop, and roll.
That's a very useless. Like people say, underwater basket weaving is useless, but I mean, you can make some pretty cool stuff.
Do they say that?
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't sound completely useless to me.
Like that's a cool basket. I would want an underwater basket.
You never know the moment that you're going to be underwater and you're like, the only thing that's going to get me out of this situation is the perfect basket.
It's the underwater MacGyver. And it's finally it's like,
you are not allowed to talk about that show until you've seen every single episode.
Every single episode?
Okay, one episode.
I've seen one episode of MacGyver and he fought fire ants in like Antarctica or something.
How?
Like
what did he do?
Well, eventually he survived by like leaking fuel and then like starting a fire. It was a whole thing.
That doesn't sound like something MacGyver would do. He would stop a fire. I saw him stop a nuclear meltdown with a chocolate bar.
Yes, but he fought the ants, the killer ants, with fire. Like that's how he
sounds
kept
like a dream you had.
It is a dream, a MacGyver dream. So you started college, a new semester.
Well, kind of. Mm-hmm. I mean, today was officially the first day of the semester, but I didn't have any in-person classes, and my in-person classes for tomorrow got canceled because of the wind and power outages. So, I mean, I started, but like barely.
You're taking four classes, right?
Yes.
Four classes. You got two film classes.
No.
One film class. Yes. International film.
Mm-hmm. History of international film from World War II to present.
World War II. Which is a great segue into public speaking is the second class.
Yes, obviously I haven't started that class yet. I was just reading the syllabus out loud to myself today and I was like, ooh, I could benefit from this class.
Oh, you should present the syllabus as one of your speeches.
Maybe I will. I'll woman-splain the class to the professor.
And then interpersonal communication is your third. And then English.
English lit with a focus on Egyptian mythology.
Oh, okay. So which of those classes, like, I think this there's fourth semester of college now. And like, you're getting into it. You're like now starting to like find out what you like and what you don't like.
Yeah, I really enjoy picking out which color notebook matches the subject I'm doing. White notebook is English, is literature, always. And so now I got to figure out what to do for what color is interpersonal communications. I feel like it's like a lavender or a purple, but I don't know. That was what I was focusing on today.
When you get your doctorate in a notebook.
Or yeah, yes.
I look forward to taking your
notebook
class.
Profiling, mm-hmm. We call it.
What is that show on Netflix? The
I almost said Hulu. Is that the show on Netflix?
The David Fincher show, it was like about like a Mindhunter.
Yes, that's a show.
Yep. But it's gonna be a show about you picking out notebooks, and it's like Book Hunter.
It's an untapped demographic.
Yeah. If anybody wants to write that screenplay or TV series, let us know. Full rights go to us, but you can take a cut of the profits.
I started school-ish.
Which one are you looking forward to the most out of those four?
I can tell you the one I'm kind of looking forward to the least. Is the literature class, because there's going to be a lot of writing, and mm-hmm. writing is not my most comfortable area.
But why? Why? Because you read a lot of books, mm-hmm. and you listen to a lot of audiobooks, mm-hmm. Which we'll get into the conversation
too
about
many? Oh, no.
about what reading is and is not.
I know I always feel bad when I say I just read a book and I didn't.
You did do a lot of reading before, and now you do a lot
That's the only thing that keeps me from feeling too bad is that I had read a lot of books in my life, and so I feel like I've put in my time. So now I be listening.
Yeah. And they say about like writing books that, you know, it's good to have read a lot of books. So it's always strikes me as odd.
Maybe you can write a lot if you've read a lot, but you don't necessarily have to have read a lot to write a lot.
Sure. Sure.
And you don't have to write a lot if you have read a lot. Did I say the same sentence twice in a row? My public speaking class is gonna be a hoot.
Gonna be a doozy. But
yeah,
at least
what a lulu.
But if you wrote that down, it would have been different. You would have been able to edit it.
I should be writing everything down. I should just be recording myself from now on and a dictaphone.
Dictaphone. Rod Serling did a dictaphone. That's how he did it back in the day when he was writing all his scripts for his portion of the 156.
But then
episodes.
He would be like, Janet, come in here and write this down. Like, he wouldn't write it down. Type this up, Secretary Poole.
Yeah, the dictaphone. It makes sense. You know, you don't.
The way my
like
brain
writing.
Operates is not conducive to a steady, coherent flow on paper.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I was talking to somebody. I was talking to Jeff earlier about creativity, because he's talking about like. He was talking about 3D printing and like D&D stuff. And he was saying, I can't create something out of nothing. Like, I have a hard time doing that. But if there's a template or somebody has an idea,
like
I see
a prompt.
Yeah. I see an example or something like that. Then I could take that and I could work with that and I can make it my own from there. But he can't start on his own. I feel that's same. The same way with you. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not an idea person. I can, you start. And then I am like, okay. I'll get in the middle in there somewhere, but I'm not, if you're like, Chelsea, go. I'm like those fainting goats when that happens. I just kind of like freeze up.
What's the hardest part? Cause I talked also about like Dexter when he was a baby and like bedtime stories. And I'd be like, and then once upon a time, there was a bear, and that bear went to work one day and he found out that he was really good at selling houses. And so he became Mr. Bear, the house salesman. And I'd keep going on.
All right. First of all, none of your stories. All my stories had a bear, because that was just how I felt like a story should start. Yours were always like, once upon a time. And I can't even think of it. Like, but they were always these ridiculously grand, imaginative stories. And they're like, now mama go. And I'm like, mother, stop crawling to me.
Once.
You tell it.
The bear.
He met a bee, usually. And then they were friends. Good for them. Go to sleep now.
Go to sleep. Go to sleep.
Oh, you need more Benadryl.
take a shot of whiskey, boy.
And you knew I couldn't do it, and that's why you kept asking me to do it.
No, I wasn't.
I birthed him. I don't have to entertain him.
I didn't do it to tease you. I did it because I know you, and like you are creative, right? But going back to the refining of ideas versus creating ideas, right? Like artists.
Maybe I don't create ideas. Maybe right. I create a human life in my body. So give me a break.
No, I'm giving you credit.
Maybe I create problems.
I'm saying you're good.
Scenarios that will never happen, and then I worry about them.
I don't know why you're getting so mad at me. I'm trying to compliment you.
I'm creating a reason.
See, you can do it. I proved it. This is my big way around. Is
all my
to show you that you're
speaking,
wrong.
Prompts and speeches and everything. They're gonna be like, that girl's angry. Why is she so angry all the time? And they're all gonna end with me being like, so stop asking me to talk in this class.
What's your favorite moment in life? Why do you want to know?
I'll tell you what's not my favorite.
I'll tell you three reasons why you don't need to know my favorite, because you'll probably guess my password.
That's right. I'm really paranoid in that class for some reason.
I am your international film class. I am excited about that one because they're like, I haven't seen a lot of those movies, basically any of them except The Road Warrior. And I don't know when the last time you saw The Road Warrior was.
Oh man, 4 score.
And 7 years ago,
at least.
Our Mel Gibson
way at back was, there.
Was anti-Semitic.
It was before he was officially out.
Yeah, that's right.
As an anti.
Yeah, he was still like, oh, you know what? I want to make a movie about Jesus someday. But instead, he was the wasteland Jesus.
Fun fact. The guy who played Jesus in his movie was my high school English teacher's husband.
Oh, John Caviezel.
Jim. Jew. Jimmy. No, Jim. Jim Caviezel.
Oh.
He was not Jewish either, probably, because no. I went to a Catholic high school and he was very...
Mel Gibson coming out in you. Yeah, so Road Warrior is good. And then there's a bunch that, like, I hadn't heard of. Bicycle Thieves, I think, is a famous one.
It is famous. And Casablanca's one.
Oh, guess I've never seen it or heard of it.
Mm. Well, I guess we should play it again.
Wait, have I seen Casablanca?
Never say that in the movie. Did you know that?
Yeah, no, I did know that.
A non-fun fact.
You stole me. Fun, non-fun fact, I had ribs for dinner.
You did.
Well, any of those movies jump out at you that you want to see?
I'm excited just about the international part of it because I love international foreign films and I love subtitles because like reading yes. and listening at the same time.
Yes.
I feel like I'm also learning another language on accident somehow. And I feel like a lot of countries do movies maybe better than America. And so I'm excited to see a lot of those movies.
What interests me about international film and film from any other country is just we get so in our bubble, like this, our American bubble. We're like, everyone's bad guys. The Russians are bad. These people are bad. Chinese are bad. Anybody's bad but us Americans. Woo, no, Die Hard, the vengeance, right? And then we watch like any like Triple R or.
Ooh, have you seen that?
I saw part of it while you
it was
were watching
so good.
It. And there's just
I never called it Triple R. I don't even know. Is that what you call it? I was just like, RRR.
Is that a pirate movie? or the new Air Bud? Air Bud 3. RRR.
RRR.
You get like all that perspective of different cultures that you wouldn't necessarily get. What was it? One of the movies, I forget which one it was talking about like Iran or some other country going to Israel to play music or something like that. And I thought, I know it was to Israel. I forget what country it was, but I thought that was like super interesting because that's not like you and I would not know what
I really wouldn't.
Any of like the geopolitical aspects of that
I really don't. There's the comedian Nate Bargatze was talking about how bad he is at history, knowing anything historic. And I have the same exact, he said, when he watches historical fiction or any kind of documentary thing, he's like, I'm right on the edge of my seat. Then Pearl Harbor was bombed. I was just as surprised as those guys were. And that's how I feel. That's why I can't watch historical fiction, because I get frustrated that I don't know which parts are real and which aren't. And the only one I'll watch without, like, completely carefree, without being stressed out, is Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, because I
that's right.
can tell the, I can tell that the parts were.
I know he was a president.
Uh-huh. Confident. I'm confident in that.
He wore a hat at some point, and he probably killed something with a stake. Probably.
Ugh, you know what? Now I can't even. Maybe he did. Who knows?
And he was married at some point in time.
I just know so little about so little. Maybe that's why I am not very creative when it comes to writing a story, because I don't have any knowledge to draw from. There's nothing happening up here, folks.
But that's not true, though, because you know so much about so many things, like actors and movies and things you've seen, things you've read. Songs you've heard, like you know.
I may as well just like throw down a bunch of words that I know on a piece of paper. That's how that goes.
That's creating.
I'm like a monkey trying to type Shakespeare.
That always reminds me of the Simpsons.
The Simpsons episode. Yeah.
It was the best of times. It was the blurst of times. You stupid monkey.
That'd be me.
And the chimps are all typing, and they got like the hats and
little visor hats.
The cigar. yeah. Oh shoot, lost the train of thought. It's fine. It's fine. You got a lot of information in your brain, but again, you're a refiner. So like, if I wrote something, I know for sure that you would take it and be like, I think maybe you'd do this. When I wrote my song the other day, like you're like, I like that because it doesn't seem like you were trying to write a song. It felt natural for you.
Your song about puppy paralysis.
Yeah.
This is a good segue. You want to talk about it?
No, I don't really.
Now people are going to.
Well, ask me about it. You want to interview people. Tell me.
No,
ask,
I don't.
Interview me, Chelsea.
So, Brandon, tell us about your latest hit on the top 40. Puppy paralysis.
Yes.
I heard that this was inspired by your dog. Is that true?
Yes, as a matter of fact. Very astute observation. yes. The song is based on my dog, Camila. Mm. And Camila and I have a love-hate relationship.
Oh, no.
She loves to lay on me, and I hate getting up out of bed when she's sleeping on me. You know what I'm saying?
Isn't that the truth?
And so I thought to myself, my son asked me the other day, Dad, let's go do stuff. I'm like, I can't get up. I've got puppy paralysis.
It seems like just a really good way to be lazy in your house. Am I right? Am I right about that?
You are right. You are right. You are right.
I sense that from verse 2 through 6.
Thanks for the interview. What else would you like to know about the song, interviewer?
The words.
Okay. It's about not getting up out of bed. The words are as follows. Something, I gotta get up, but I'm feeling stuck. Gotta do stuff, but this puppy paralysis. Oh. Something like that.
So it's something kind like of a kind of a punk anthem, like a protest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's just the first verse. The second verse, I'm feeling the heat, you know, stuck in the sheets, but I'm falling asleep in this puppy paralysis.
We can all relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
So wise.
So tune in to MTV2 for premiere video.
Sir, you're VH1.
No, does VH1 exist anymore?
Does MTV? As you knew it when you were a youngin'?
No, it doesn't.
No,
it doesn't.
Sorry. You're best of VH1 at this point.
I love VH1
looks back.
I'm VH1. I love the 2025.
No.
Well, I wrote the song in this year, so.
You're right. I'm very proud of you for churning out new creative stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thanks, honey. I appreciate that. And I love that you support me doing that.
You have an amazing wife.
We watched some shows recently, and I want to talk to you about it because you started these shows very, very late. Dexter and I were watching these. We watched Invincible Fight Girl.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And it's like 9 episodes. It's on Cartoon Network. It's an American anime about a world where wrestling is like super huge. Like everyone's a wrestler, but then there's a small island called Accountant Island
That sounds so fun.
When we started watching it, I was like, your mom would have loved that place. And so one of the little girl who's raised to be an accountant, she wants to be a wrestler. And so this is the series is all her story.
It really is Accountant Island?
Yes. Yeah. It's great. It's great. So Dexter and I watched the first episode. We're like, this is pretty good. We kept watching it. And then one night we pulled you in to watch
the last
two episodes. And so, without any context of what happened before, do you remember what you thought of the show? Like, we really liked it.
I thought, okay, you guys gave me like a quick rundown. Like, she has to do the perfect strike 10 times.
Yeah, perfect strike.
And it's like, okay. And then I was watching her do this wrestling match with the perm gang, and they were all a wrestling gang that had perms. But then the guy was bald because he was having PTSD from fighting her grandma and getting beat by her grandma.
Yeah. Queso Poblano.
Sure. Uh-huh. And but then she kept trying to do the perfect strike. And so I kept being like, oh, this is where she's going to do it. Oh, this is where she's going to do it. And then she never did do it. And I was like, does she have to do it 10 times in a row to the same person? Or does she just have to have 10 matches? So I had a lot of questions. Obviously, I came in at the end. I had a lot of questions.
Yeah.
But it was entertaining.
But so you saw the last episode where she actually did perform it. I'm pretty sure, unless you went outside.
I saw her do it. I just saw the perm episode.
Oh, okay. Okay. Because in the end, she does the perfect strike.
There's like a sneaky, mysterious guy in the back that knows the grandma somehow. And he's like, look, she's going to do it. And I don't know he's the villain, obviously. I don't know why.
Yeah. We don't meet him until like the penultimate episode. The Queso Poblano is not her grandma. She's the wrestler that she saw when she was a kid that inspired her to become a wrestler.
That old lady was not her grandma.
Right, right. That was the person who inspired her to become a wrestler. And so she wants to train with her mentor.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of that. What I really love about the show, and I Brian Newton is the supervising director for it. He came from Rick and Morty. He was like
Say, is that your Brian?
Yeah. You met Brian.
We went to his 40th birthday party.
That's right. I talked to him after I watched the first couple episodes. I was like, hey, just to let you know, it's really, really good. You know, great job with it. Me and my son are watching it. And he's like, yeah, like that 13-year-old demographic is really kind of what it's geared towards, what it's shooting for. And what's so great about it is it's all about like going after who you are and who you want to be, like It's not about being who your parents say you're going to be. It's like a kind of a coming of age story.
Don't be an accountant. That's boring.
Well, she leaves her parents in the first episode. Her parents.
That's a terrible message. You show my son this movie? I mean, this show?
Yeah, I did. I told him, get out. her parents are raising her to be an accountant. They want, like, just like their parents before them. And, you know, this little girl is training to be a wrestler, but like in a park by herself, like in a hidden, like little treehouse area. And she's learning these wrestling moves. And when her parents find out, they're not super thrilled about it, but they see how happy it makes her, how important it is for her. And so they encourage her and support her.
That's nice.
And she's like, I don't want to make you guys sad. And I'm like, well, we are going to be sad, but we want you to follow what makes you happy.
It's not the kid's job to keep the parents happy.
Right. And there's some of the other character parents examples that make the wrong decisions.
Ugh.
And we hate them, but it's really like for a teenager, I feel like it's got a really empowering message. So highly, highly recommend it for parents of kids, tweens, teens and tweens. So, unlike that, I don't recommend Creature Commandos
for the kiddos. To
teens and tweens. Especially not the second episode, unless you want to watch and hear cartoon sex.
Yeah. Well, I did not see that coming. Dexter was shocked as well.
No. Yeah.
There was a full cartoon sex scene. It was hot.
She took his pants off with her feet.
She did. She was sitting up on the sink. It was real.
Spoiler alert.
It was real. It was real, real.
Yeah. Spoiler alert for episode two. So Creature Commandos, James Gunn is taking over the DC film universe, but he's also doing some shows on Max to get that tie into it. So Creature Commandos.
Just for some side cash.
Yeah. Yeah. So Creature Commandos is essentially Suicide Squad, after Suicide Squad type of stuff is going on. Waller, go ahead.
Is Rick Flag?
Mm-hmm.
He's the dad of the Flag guy from the Suicide Squad.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Exactly right, honey.
Okay.
Good job.
Gambled and I won.
Good job. Yeah. Rick Flag Sr., played by Frank Grillo in Creature Commandos, is Rick Flag's dad from the movies.
Played by that one guy that I always confuse with the other guy.
Yeah.
There's a Joel McKinnon, and then there's another guy that I never remember. Joel Kinnaman.
I think Joel Kinnaman is Rick Flag.
And then there's another guy that I'm like, does he play RoboCop? I don't know.
Oh,
but then I'm like, oh no, that's the same guy.
Damn it.
Confused. There's two very similar looking white guys.
Kinnaman is RoboCop.
Body type. They have the same facial hair. Always, all the time. And I never can remember the other one.
Yeah. As long as it's not the guy from The Guest.
No, that's Dan Stevens.
Yeah, that's right.
Dan Stevens. Mm. He's from Downton Abbey.
Ah, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
He's not my favorite actor, that guy.
No,
and he's in the new Kong movie. He was in the new King Kong movie. That's the one, right, where he had where King Kong had the
pink
robot arm.
The pink arm.
Was it?
Okay. It's, oh, Godzilla turns pink.
The pink arm is what I call my vagina.
That was your nickname in high school.
That's right.
Yeah.
We all sat around and no.
So it's a continuation of kind of Suicide Squad. For adults, where Waller, the Amanda Waller, she can't use people and kill them anymore, but she gets away with you having like a task force esque X type of thing using monsters. So
it's Amanda Waller,
the lady who gets mind read,
the African American lady.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so like the Bride of Frankenstein, Dr. Phosphorus, this guy who is always on fire.
Voiced by Alan Tudyk. And you kind of if once you hear some Alan Tudyk has anything to do with it, you're like, let's give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Each makes good choices.
G.I. Robot is who wants
also
to kill.
Also voiced by Alan Tudyk.
No, Sean Gunn.
Oh, you're right. He voices him and the weasel.
Yes. The weasel, who I love the weasel.
Here's my caveat for this show, though. It seems to me there's a trend now of making cartoons very depressing and sad. And it's even sadder to me when it's in cartoon for some reason. So it's like, watching this fun cartoon, huh? This stuff can't happen. And then it gets real lifey, real fast. And then something really sad happens, like that X-Men show we watched just then. Yeah. And then Gambit or whoever dies. And they're like, I can't feel you anymore, sugar. And then it's like everything gets really sad. So you end every 22-minute episode like, oh, no, why you make me watch this? So it's the weasel is the star of that episode, the weasel-centric episode. And you already love him because he's so cuckoo bananas. And then they just did him dirty.
They did him dirty indeed.
I knew he didn't kill those kids. I knew it.
But we're not going to spoil anything, but just know that Weasel didn't kill the kids that they accused him of killing. I like the way the show is laid out. Each episode is like tells the story of one of the characters. And I like seeing the backstories of it. And Same thing with that one episode of Invincible Fight Girl, with like the backstory of the perm gang, mm-hmm. where you see that the perm gang wasn't always bad.
Yeah.
You know, it shows that not everything is black and white, that everybody has a story, no matter.
Man, we really dogged origin stories our last time we recorded those. So now we're like, but these are good ones. And it's because nobody knows them.
Yes. Right. Like, I don't want to see.
So if we're going to talk about Mufasa.
Let's talk about Mufasa for a second. Like Star Wars, I don't need to see a Luke Skywalker prequel where he's hanging out with Biggs doing
Jason
racist.
Biggs?
No, not Jason Biggs.
American Pie?
Chasing Biggs through the races. No, Biggs, that's one of his friends. And Wedge and Tilly's.
Salad.
Yeah. Wedge Antilles is also using the original trilogy, and then he was in the final.
I don't know what you're saying now. I don't know what the words that are coming out of your mouth.
He was like Red 5 or something like that.
In the pipe, 5x5.
Yes, which is what movie?
Alien?
Nice.
Oh, phew.
And also a line in StarCraft, if you click one of the.
Is that the one that goes, burr, 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 burr. Oh no, I'm thinking of Star Fox. That video game.
Real quick, what is your favorite video game?
Ugh, this is. Do you remember how I don't like pop questions?
Uh huh. This isn't a pop question. This is a Chelsea. Guess
to play Dr. Mario, but to watch, I liked watching when Dexter would play Ravel. Or Unravel? It was like that little yarn character. And then you had to just like follow the string everywhere. And the music was really soft. And it was like a really cute, sweet one.
Yeah, that is sweet. We haven't played Dr. Mario in a long time.
I play it every night after you go to bed. I'm killing it.
I'm going to beat him next time we
kill
play.
Kill all the viruses.
Dr. Mario, COVID edition, which brings us back to the start of the episode.
Sorry, we were talking about Creature Commando.
We were. I think it's a good show. I'm interested to see where it leads.
Mm-hmm.
And
it always has fun music in it.
Yeah, it does. By Gogol Bordello.
Say that again.
Gogol Bordello.
Gogol?
Yeah.
G-O-L-G-O-L?
G-O-G-O-L.
Oh, Gogol.
Gogol.
Like Go-Gurt.
Yeah, kind of like Go-Gurt.
Gogol. Gogol.
Gogol. Gogol Bordello. Purple. It's a purple dance.
He was Russian. It was purple.
Yeah. They do put on a good show. I don't remember any of their songs, but.
I was so shocked that you even knew who that was.
Yeah. Jason Gunter went there in Denver. Gunter in Denver a long time ago. They do have good music. With the whole James Gunn doing Superman the new Superman movie coming out. I'm interested to see where like all this ties into. Yeah.
We don't talk about anything except for this 1 hour a week. And so I don't know.
I just assume you know everything I know.
I don't. I have 17 notebooks in there. I counted today. I know that. But I don't know. There's a new Superman.
If BuzzFeed talked about DC more, you'd know this.
BuzzFeed is informative. Who's going to play the new Superman?
Somebody that I've never heard of before.
Say it. Maybe I know.
I won't say it. Keep talking. I'll look it up real fast.
Joe Dirt.
No, what? Joe Dirt.
Go Rabbit. James Gunn Jr. Freddie Wilkinson.
Keep guessing. David Corn Sweat.
Corin Nemec?
No.
Parker Lewis?
Can't lose.
David Corn Sweat.
Also the Stand?
Was he in High School Musical? That'd be the why I don't know him.
He was in Twisters.
I don't know. I assumed it was a man. It could be anything.
He was in Pearl, which you did not see. Lady in the Lake.
Nope,
Hollywood, The Politician. Turns out he's not been in a whole lot you have seen.
Well, good for him. Let me see his picture.
Okay. He looks good. He looks good. He does a good, based off the trailer, he looks...
Oh, yeah.
He does a good transition between Clark Kent and Superman.
You show it on your...
No. Go out to youtube.com/
Somebody Google it.
he's good in the... I'll make you watch the trailer after this.
Juilliard.
It is a very good trailer. I'm excited for it. And I'm not a Zack Snyder fan, so.
Why?
I really liked Dawn of the Dead.
That didn't tell me why you're not a fan. You just named why you are a fan.
Yeah, I liked Dawn of the Dead, mm-hmm. Which James Gunn wrote. And then I was like, yeah, man, I like Zack Snyder. And then he did Watchmen. And then he did like some Owl movie. And then he did Sucker Punch. Mm. And then I just felt like he kept not doing good movies.
But you liked Watchmen.
I did, but I also think about that long ass sex scene to Hallelujah.
You don't think that he just did that as a like trying to be silly, like he did on purpose? This is awkward and funny, so I put it in there.
I think
does that make it less cringy for you to know that he knew that it was going to be terrible?
No, because I look at Sucker Punch in that movie. We talked at dinner about trolling.
Because you do it.
Yeah.
That's why we were talking about it.
I do it. And like Sucker Punch is just a demonstrably awful movie. What I will give Zack Snyder credit on is like his visuals are always really good. Like I love like the art.
Is he in charge of that?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Like he always has an artistic kind of look at the scenes and stuff like that.
You don't think it's the cinematographer that's in charge of that?
Well, if it's part of his vision. So he's the auteur. Although he has a team of folks, it's still his vision ultimately. Mm-hmm. But then he like has too much slow motion. And story-wise, it's never very good.
It's interesting. Love David Lynch, though.
Love David Lynch because... his visuals and his storytelling are top notch.
See you out.
Because he's a dream maker.
Storyteller.
David Lynch is. He tells story through avant-garde imagery.
Like Gus Van Sant.
Oh, elephant. Mm. Well, anywho. What do you want to leave folks with? Final words, Chelsea.
Oh, I don't have any. Just everybody do whatever you want. Just do whatever you friggin' want. It doesn't matter. Just
do what you want. But don't do it around me. Idleness and dissipation breed apathy.
Here comes some song lyrics.
Well, thank you, Chelsea. I appreciate those words.
Yeah, you're welcome, guys. Permission to do whatever you want. You're welcome.
The last thing I would say is we didn't talk about it all the way up until right now, but yes, we do live in the LA area. And we are part of that big giant map that says, oh, these places all might catch on fire. Chelsea and I and our families are all good. But
so far,
there are a lot of folks out there that have lost their homes and stuff like that. So, I think there are charities and stuff going around where you can give money to folks in Palisades, Altadena. We know people out in Altadena that have been affected. So,
or just to anyone, to anyone who's suffering. It doesn't need to be the people who are suffering from fires, yeah. But maybe it just makes some people more aware that there is suffering out and about. And so you don't have to give to the people that are suffering right this second. They could be to people who are suffering already. And just to spread the wealth and the happiness and the help to whomever.
Yeah. Agreed. Just send money to
us.
Because go to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. To support us as we support other people. If you give us enough, we will donate a percentage of
We'll leave a big tip when we go out to dinner.
We will donate a percentage of your donation to
Olive Garden.
Mm-hmm. Because when you're there, you're family.
Right. That's what they told us. And I believed them.
And they give
and
us.
Now they won't answer my calls.
They won't. But I go in with like a fake mustache and beard.
Brandon, we can tell. I can't do an Italian. We can tell it to you, Brandon.
I just want breadsticks and minestrone.
Like, it's unlimited. Stop. Get your disguise out of here.
Well, I think
just have a seat anywhere near the restaurant. You will get a breadstick.
I think. Well, the last time they kicked me out because I brought in that 5-gallon bucket.
I was saying, because you buy your own breadsticks. Like the frozen kind of heat these up for me.
Yeah, no, I don't need yours. Like just a big baguette. Well, anywho, thank you all for listening.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. Go follow us and or not. It's fine.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. We have fun with you, all of you. We all laugh and we always talk to you. Remember that one person?
Remember that time you said?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Remember that time you interviewed me? Oh my gosh.
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the listener and or you.
I was speaking on behalf of the listener.
Oh, yes.
Because in a certain way, they felt like you interviewed them.
Yes. Tell me your favorite breadstick and the name of your genitalia and go spread the love.
Okay. Thank you for saying the love. Please tell me the nickname of your genitalia and go spread the love.
The breadsticks.
The breadsticks. until next time, on behalf of me, Travis.
Travis, we love you.
We love you. You have a wonderful evening or day or whenever you listen to this. And we're out of here.
Ta-ta.
Feel it. You feel it? Feel it in my butt cheek.
Oh, shit.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.